listening to Miller and Moulton, exclusively on the Florida Sports Network. And now, here's Mark Miller and David Moulton.
Hour two of Miller and Moulton on this Friday, the first Friday in June. Game one of the NBA Finals went to the Nuggets rather easily, easier than the final of 104-93. Jokic, Murray, Porter, Gordon, they were all terrific. Denver's 9-0 at home. Game two, Sunday night in Denver. See if Miami can get the all-important split before they come back home for two games next week. Stanley Cup Finals get underway tomorrow night in Vegas. Panthers haven't played in a week and a half by the time they get to the ice. But didn't hurt the Nuggets last night. Hopefully it won't hurt the Panthers tomorrow night. Panthers an underdog in the series. Slight, but they're an underdog. Vegas was much like the Nuggets. Vegas, the number one team in the Western Conference points-wise. And the Panthers, like the Heat, entered the playoffs as an 8 seed. Last team in, so to speak, in the East. They've been giant killers. Let's see if it continues. Miami hadn't lost a game one on the road yet this year till last night. Panthers have won 8 straight on the road heading into game one tomorrow night. But we'll get to the hoops and the hockey in more detail later on. Can I go back and revisit this college football thing?
Absolutely.
Listen, we all know the SEC is the best. Okay. I mean, you know, even me, who's angry right now at the SEC, I feel like Richard Gere in Pretty Woman. I'm angry with my father. 10 years of therapy later, I'm still angry. You know, that's how I feel. I'm in the bathtub with Julia Roberts. I am angry at the SEC. A sponge bath might help, though.
Especially from Julia Roberts.
Right. And she wraps those long legs around me. 36 inches of therapy there, as she said. So, I'm angry. But I have a dilemma. And I want you, and all of you, tell me who goes. Georgia loses one game this year. They lose at Tennessee. And because of it, they don't go to Atlanta.
Okay.
Tennessee ends up representing the East. Remember, we've got divisions this year. This is the last year of divisions in the SEC and the Big Ten, right?
Yes.
So this is the last year of divisions in the two major conferences. So let's just say, because by the way, that's what happened last year. LSU lost a bunch of games. They only lost one SEC game. So when they beat Alabama, you know, they had the tiebreaker. And that's why LSU went. Even though Bama had a better record, was ranked better, the whole deal. LSU had the tiebreaker. Same thing could happen. Mark, Georgia's 11-1, and you figure they're going to be undefeated number one in the country when they play Tennessee. Say they lose a tough game, they ain't going to fall very far. I mean, probably still be in the top five, right?
You would think.
Okay. Now, let's talk Florida State. Florida State is playing a true toss-up game. Spreads like 1.5-2 in Orlando to open the season against LSU. Let's just say they lose it. I mean, remember, that game, it was a blocked extra point last year, decided that game. Let's just say Florida State loses this time. Close one. Then 3 weeks later, they go to Clemson. Two best teams in the ACC. Play a good game. Clemson walks out of there 31-28. Florida State's going to be favored in every game they play the rest of the year. They run the table. They get a rematch with Clemson. They win it. They're 11-2. Georgia's 11-1. They're not even in the SEC championship game. Florida State's 11-2. They're ACC champion. Who makes the playoff?
Georgia will make it, and they shouldn't. And here's why. I mean, it's first in the loss column, but that little line, David, that they have in their a conference championship, if deemed to be. You know the wording, but they set it up basically that if it's a conference champ and there's a big gap, we take the conference champ. But if they can't determine that the conference champ's that much better, then they go back to their old ways.
But remember, we go back to 2016. Penn State, with two losses, won the Big Ten. Ohio State went 11-1, didn't make the Big Ten title game. Why? The one loss was at Penn State, so Penn State won the tiebreaker. Penn State was the 11-2 Big Ten champion. Who went to the playoff? 11-1 Ohio State. And, of course, the reason I bring this up is Florida State's going to play, in the scenario that I brought up, 11 games against Power 5 schools. 8 ACC, LSU, Florida, and then the rematch with Clemson. Whereas Georgia will play only 9 Power 5 games. And listen, Georgia will have caught a couple of bad breaks. They had Oklahoma on the schedule, but then when Oklahoma and Texas joined the conference, they couldn't get the home and home done before they joined the conference, so they canceled the home and home. So Georgia ended up replacing them with Ball State. It's a bad look. And their rival, their non-conference rival, Georgia Tech, is lousy. Their over-under's 4. So Georgia is going to catch a couple of bad breaks this year. Not all of their doing. You know, I mean, they want to play Georgia Tech every year. It's up to Georgia Tech to be good.
And that hasn't happened for a couple of decades, it seems.
Right. A couple of Paul Johnson teams, that's about it. So think about that scenario. By the way, that scenario is not crazy. I mean, it's not. Georgia's going to be favored in every game they play. Their over-under is 11.5. And would it really surprise you if Florida State went 11? When Florida State's done with Clemson week 4, they're favored in every game they play the rest of the year, with a top 5 quarterback in the country. I mean, I don't think these scenarios are outlandish.
No, they're not outlandish. And you asked me, because I don't think they could determine that Florida State was better to the point that Georgia wouldn't go with the better record.
How is it a better record?
The one loss. That's what they've
all... anybody.
David, I've just told you, I'd take Florida State. You're asking me what the committee's going to do. The committee's never taken a two-loss team. They don't take two-loss teams, and unless they can determine that Florida State as a conference champ is better in no scenario that Georgia's even close to Florida State, that there's a canyon between the two. Well, there's not.
Listen, you're probably right, but I'm just trying to – and see, to me, if you're the other conferences, you got to start this now. This needs to be a narrative now. This is a sport based on public opinion. No need to be nice here. No need to be professional. Gentlemanly. No, this is big boy college football. No. If you're the commissioner of the ACC, if you're Tony Petitti and you're the commissioner of the Big Ten, you need to say, listen, Georgia with that schedule, if they don't win the SEC, they shouldn't make the playoffs. You should just say it. Flat say it. Let people get all up in arms about it. Good. They're talking about it. Say it. Say it out loud. Now, it's not all Georgia's fault, okay? And by the way, don't tell me whether the two-time defending champion. Yeah, 25 of those guys have been drafted. It's not the same team. This isn't 05 USC after winning it in 03 and 04, okay? It's not. Leinart and Bush and company didn't come back. Also, if you think about it, Mark, I mean, Georgia would be the second team from the SEC. That means the SEC would have half the playoff. Remember, this is the final year of 4. That's another thing. You start pounding the table now. Schedules need to matter. Okay? Enough with the kowtowing to the SEC. Even though, and Mark brought out a stat during the commercial break, if you're watching us on Twitch, I mean, You honk the SEC off. They got some pretty good numbers on their side.
In fact, here it is. The SEC in the college football playoff, 14-3 versus the field. 3 different schools win the past 4 titles. The ACC is 6-5 in the college football playoff. The Big Ten, 3-7. The Big 12, 1-5. The Pac-12, 1-2. Notre Dame, 0-2. And the AAC, 0-1.
Hey, at least they got in.
That's right.
But, so yeah, that's what the SEC comes back with. When they go, we got the best players. We got the best teams. Yeah, I don't know what to tell you. And the other conferences come back with, well, if you have the best players and have the best teams, then be man enough to step up and play people. It makes no sense that we're playing harder schedules than you. It should be the other way around. And by the way, call them out and go, look at college basketball. Is Kansas and Kentucky out there ducking people? No. Michigan State out there ducking people? No. They're playing everybody they can find. You know why? Because they're Kansas, Kentucky, and Michigan State.
Well, the difference is that committee actually looks at strength of schedule, and it matters.
There you go. And that's why you bring it up. Because who are you taking on here? You're taking on the establishment. It's like, hey, listen, from now on, strength of schedule matters. We start talking about this now. I'm not letting the SEC have a quiet summer. Hell no. If I'm the ACC, come on, start looking at this now. If you think Clemson and Florida State are going to face each other twice this year, if you think they're the two best teams and they're going to play in the regular season at Clemson in September and then they're going to play 10 weeks later in Charlotte, well, you start lobbying now. I mean, what are the odds that one of those teams goes 2-0 against the other? You got to start lobbying now. You got to make sure your champ's in. And Dabo's got no trouble lobbying. No trouble at all. Dabo will take on the SEC. I mean, if you're Jim Phillips there, the ACC, you call up Dabo. Dabo, I need you to go public. Yeah, what day? Wednesdays. Every Wednesday for the summer. Great. Fine. That'll be good. I can do that. I'll put it on my schedule.
And every time that you're talking to one of the coaches, those coaches need to bring up strength of schedule.
Every time.
Every time.
You're a Big Ten coach, commissioner. We play 9 conference games.
Your social media people need to be belting this out on a regular basis.
By the way, start playing the chicken sound. Yeah. Start doing a presser. Bring a chicken. Bring a rubber chicken to the press conference. You guys want to talk? I just want the SEC to be represented here today at this press conference. Hold the rubber chicken up.
You're listening to Miller and Moulton, exclusively on the Florida Sports Network.
21 minutes past the hour. Hour 2 of Miller and Moulton on this first Friday of June. Thanks so much for being with us. Florida Sports Network, floridasportsnetwork.com. Keith Smith, Orlando Alcigeri to join us next hour. We'll talk Heat and Panthers in their respective finals. Miami lost game 1 in Denver last night, 104-93. Nuggets were dominant. A little shaky in the fourth quarter. Looked like they took their foot off their gas a little bit. Heat were down 21 going to the fourth. Started the fourth with an 11-0 run, but never got any closer than 9. And that was late. So, game 2 Sunday night in Denver. Probably the series, right? I mean, we all know the math. Can Miami come back? Sure, they could. You know, their first title in 06, they were down 2-0 to Dallas and came back. But that was 2-3-2 format. We don't do that anymore. It's 2-2-1-1-1.
Probably, but they could still get it done, winning both their home games. Take this 2-2 that way.
So you're not ready to say this Sunday's the series?
I'm not ready to say it.
Okay. I am.
I will say that Denver, because they played so poorly in the fourth quarter, actually has something to give their team grief about. It wasn't just this easy win where they can say, oh, this is going to, you know, they're actually, even in the postgame, hollering, hey, we can't let up. We got to play 48 minutes. Look what happens when we take our foot off the gas.
Plus, I think they shot less than 30% from beyond the arc. You know, so they're like, listen, we didn't play our best game. I mean, we only scored 104 points. One thing I would say, Mark, going forward, if you said to Spo the rest of the series Denver's going to score 104 points a night. Would you take it, yes or no?
Spo would sign up for that in a nanosecond.
Right.
I used the number 110 yesterday when we were discussing. I thought Miami's got to get to about 110 to win games against the Nuggets. And if they can keep them at 104, shooting as badly as they did. I mean, you can spin this the other way. Miami played an awful game. Jimmy Butler was not good. Didn't drive with any oomph. Didn't go to the hole. Didn't get to the free throw line. They took two free throws. They shot the ball horrifically. Strus is 0 of 10. I mean, there are plenty of ways to spin this from the Miami side to say that this series is far from over.
I will say Spoelstra was so cool, calm, and collected afterwards. Not only that, I mean, I don't know if he had showered or not, but he didn't have, you know, a hair out of place. He didn't have a bead of sweat on him. They're throwing questions out at him. He's like, yeah, you know, some days the shots go in, some days they don't. We'll be fine. I would like us to play with the second half intensity for 48 minutes. You know, I thought Denver was a little more into it early, but he goes, eh, otherwise, you know, two good teams, trading punches. We'll see how it goes Sunday. I mean, I thought it was the A-Sun tournament. I mean, you know, apparently we're getting ready. Eh, we lost a key regular season game. We fell to the 3 seed, you know. Eh, I don't know. I think we'll be all right. Got a veteran team, been here before. I like our chances. He's got this down, man.
100%.
He's kind of like, listen, this is mountain time. I'm looking at my watch. It's barely 9 o'clock. Okay. If we can cut this short, you know, we can get out of here back to the hotel. I mean, you know, and plus we got Friday and Saturday off. I don't need to watch film tonight. I could get a nice bottle of wine. Okay, get a nice meal. Maybe a little chicken parm action.
When did he become a hockey player?
I don't know. Don't know. I'm just trying to think. What do you order? If you get back to the hotel at 10 o'clock, restaurant's still open. You got a chance to, you know. I mean, Mickey Arison and Pat Riley's picking up the tab. I mean, there's no sense just ordering, you know, the shrimp roll or anything.
I just like that you went chicken parm. I think he's probably getting the New York strip. I mean, I think probably
is. You know me. I was thinking carbs. I'm thinking, you know, I got to fill myself up for bed. Want some pasta.
Right. I mean, let's get something really heavy right before I go to sleep.
Exactly. And, you know, he's probably thinking, you know, something light.
And he's probably
going to
have a salad.
Right. I know. It's why he looks the way he does. It's why I look the way I do. I'm thinking, man, something heavy at about 10:30, 11 o'clock would be fantastic.
Do you know what's bad? As I've fallen asleep on the couch and wake up and instead of going to bed, I go to the refrigerator to grab a snack.
Yes! That's what I'm talking about. That's how you attack life right there. Today's National Donut Day. You can order a donut any time of the day. Doesn't just have to be on your way to work or school. All right? You can go right before lunch. How about after lunch? Treat yourself to a dessert.
Speaking of which, we've got two poll questions up in celebration of National Donut Day. What's the best kind of donut? Glazed, Boston cream, jelly, or other? Glazed running away with it with over half the vote right now.
Yes.
And who has better donuts, Krispy Kreme or Dunkin'? And early voting, Krispy Kreme with 93% of the vote.
There we go. That's what I'm talking about. Early precincts. We banked those votes, baby.
So go to that Mark Miller, the David Moulton, or FL Sports Network to vote. FloridaSportsNetwork.com as well. Felipe, time now for our Clutch Vodka play of the day. Not much clutch by the Heat.
No, not quite.
But maybe it's the other side?
But some clutch from the baseball diamond, not from the Marlins. They actually lost last night. But out west we go. The Diamondbacks have been on fire, and Corbin Carroll was the hero for them last night as they sweep the Rockies.
Corbin Carroll, base hit! Here comes Marte! Diamondbacks sweep all four from Colorado! It went down to the final hitter, and they finally got the big hit.
I mean, on a roll, the Diamondbacks are. They are tied for first in the NL West with the Dodgers. We're in June. Pretty good start for the D-backs.
Just imagine if the season was split in half and we only had 20-something games left.
Boy. Here we go.
Wait a minute. Am I getting it from Felipe now, too? I don't even have the young, you know, buck on my side. The guy who, you know, his generation open to this stuff.
And not only that, but the guy who roots for a team who could use a format like that.
Right.
You don't have me, no.
You really don't have anybody with this.
You are
on an island with this.
I mean, with all these rule changes, that's the one that'll really lose the baseball audience. And age 50
really
up.
Really lose them. Yeah. You watch a game every day for 3 months. Yeah.
I mean, what are we doing here?
What do you mean, what are we doing? We're splitting the season in half.
No.
Yeah. The season's as long as an NBA and an NHL regular season. And now we're split in half. We do another one. That's all. Just think of how great the races would be right now. Think about how big the Twins-Guardians game would have been last night if the season was split in half.
I don't legitimize the Marlins' 2020 playoff run because it was a 52-game regular season. That's not even half of an MLB regular season.
Wow.
No, that wasn't a playoff run. They made the playoffs as a 500 with a 500 record. That doesn't happen.
There were a few games above 500. It was a 60-game season. They won a playoff series, best of three, against the Cubs. No? No.
Okay.
So you wouldn't hang the banner is what you're saying. You work for the organization. You would not have it out there. Playoffs 2020.
Well, no. For the record, no. I would be in pennants and World Series. Those are the banners you hang. And that's it.
Could I lobby you for 2020 with an asterisk? Okay.
Did they win the pennant?
Made the playoffs.
Did they win the pennant?
Well, no.
Well, then we're not hanging a banner.
Okay. Tell you what, then you ain't going to be hanging one for a long time.
Miller and Moulton. Hanging banners, talking donuts, and a little NBA Finals all mixed in as well. Thanks so much for listening right here on the Florida Sports Network.
Welcome back to Miller and Moulton, only on the Florida Sports Network.
Twenty-two minutes before the hour. First Friday of June. How's your week gone? Probably a shorter week. So I'm guessing feeling pretty good about it. Got plans for the weekend. Miller and Moulton, Florida Sports Network, floridasportsnetwork.com. And this is it in Florida, right? No matter where you are, the school's over now, right? It's the last day of school's already happened, or it's today in some counties, but I mean it's over, isn't it?
No.
No?
Not for my daughter. She's got to go back Monday and Tuesday.
What? Is it because of the hurricane?
No.
No?
That's when that was the wildest thing because we missed all that time from Hurricane Ian.
Right.
And they made up 2 days. They missed like 2 weeks and made up like 2 days. They had plenty of things to figure out and to do, and I'm...
Right.
I didn't need them going through the month of June, but it makes you wonder, if nothing else. Like, we're good with that?
And they said, listen, we're worried about power, okay? And you're worried about days. We'll get back to you.
Exactly.
It's like 32 on the list of things that we're concerned about right now. Don't know if we'll get to it.
But I do, you know, I always, you know, I pick my daughter up every day. Hey, did you get your homework done? Dad, there's no, like, because they have these different tests now that, they had their big end of year test about a week and a half ago. After that test was done, that school has been on autopilot. What's your homework? I don't have any homework. We're not doing anything.
Please, we got a board game going on in class, Dad.
So funny you say that. That was the email I got from the teacher yesterday. We're having an end-of-year celebration and board game day. Please send your child with an appropriate board game for school.
Well, wait a minute. Class is only like 40-something minutes, though. It's tough to play a board game in just 40 minutes.
What do you mean? What did I just tell you? There's no class. They're just sitting around having parties this time of year.
Okay. Today's National Donut Day. And in honor of it, we have two poll questions.
Krispy Kreme or Dunkin', the two big boy national chains. And I know there are others out there. We get it.
Right. You know, folks in Southwest Florida are telling us, what about Trackside? Folks in Tampa are saying, well, what about this one?
But Krispy Kreme is whooping up on Dunkin' Donuts right now.
Yeah! Yeah! I feel like Krispy Kreme's a mid-major compared to Dunkin'. I know it's a Power 5, but it's a small Power 5, wouldn't you say?
Definitely an AAC type of school. I mean, or maybe a Big 12 now, but I see what you're saying.
I think this is TCU against Michigan. That's what I think this is. This is Krispy Kreme getting it done against Dunkin'. You know, Starbucks is the SEC representative. I feel like this is Krispy Kreme taking on, okay, this is TCU, Michigan right here.
How did Michigan lose that football game?
Yeah, really. Although I will say TCU had, what, 7, 9 guys drafted? I mean, they really were. They were pretty good. They shouldn't have beat Michigan, but they really were pretty good. I mean, they couldn't beat K-State, but they could beat Michigan. How about that? Ohio State's still the only Big Ten team to win a game in this whole 14 playoff era. It's the last chance for a Michigan or a Penn State or somebody to get a win before we go to 12.
And you talked about Georgia and their schedule. Michigan.
Yeah, that's a joke.
Damn well better be undefeated when they're playing the Buckeyes.
I mean, the one thing Michigan can at least say if they get brought up in the same conversation as Georgia is, yeah, but our conference games are tougher. How about that? Think about that for a second. The Big Ten team can go, yeah, but our conference games are tougher. We're playing Ohio State and Penn State. That's two top 10 teams. Who's Georgia playing? Tennessee? Both teams we're playing are thought to be better than Tennessee. And we're playing 9. They're only playing 8. Seriously, I'll say it again. I know you think I'm being a jerk when I say if Georgia doesn't get to Atlanta, Georgia can go 11-1, lose at Tennessee, and in theory not represent the East and probably be ranked in the top 5 in the country. I'm telling you, if Georgia does not win the SEC this year, they should not be in the playoff. Anything shy of 13-0, I don't think Georgia should be in the playoff.
I agree with you, David. I'm just telling you what I believe the realities of college football are. Is that 11-1 Georgia goes. If that loss is against Tennessee. Now, if they lose to anybody else on their schedule, it would be up for debate. Because the schedule's a joke.
Now, Georgia caught a bad break. They had Oklahoma scheduled week 2. I don't know if that game was in Athens or if it was in Norman. But it was a home and home, first half in this year, second half in 25. And then when Oklahoma and Texas joined the SEC and they couldn't complete the home and home in time, it was like, we can't do half of it because we can't honor the other half. So they canceled the whole thing entirely. And so Oklahoma got replaced with Ball State. And this year, Georgia Tech, their non-conference rival, is terrible. Over under a 4. New coach and everything. So Georgia caught a few bad breaks this year, but they weren't super aggressive in avoiding them either. Sankey said something interesting yesterday. Greg Sankey, commissioner of the SEC. So he was asked a series of questions about expansion. And he kind of fired some questions back at the media. He's like, why should we go above 16? Is bigger always better? How many conference games are we going to have to play if we go to 18 or 20? We're going to have to play 10? I mean, we're having a hard enough time figuring out whether we're going to go 8 or 9 with 16. And 9 works perfectly.
That's the part of this that has bothered me, is that it was really simple. 3 permanent games, 6 other games. You rotate those 6. So every, you know, essentially 4 years, you're going to see everybody play at your stadium.
You'll basically, you'll do a home and home with everyone in the conference in a 4-year period of time. And then you got the 3 schools that you play every year. And they couldn't get 8, Mark. Or no, I'm sorry. They couldn't get, 8. Because only 14 were allowed to vote yesterday. They couldn't get 8 of the 14 schools to vote for 9. Because they only needed a majority. Think about that. Supposedly, they had 10 a week ago. They lost 3 votes in a week.
And for those of you wondering that we're taking on Georgia's schedule, just to review, Tennessee Martin, Ball State, South Carolina, UAB, at Auburn, Kentucky, at Vanderbilt, the Gators in Jacksonville, Missouri, Ole Miss, at Tennessee, at Georgia Tech.
I mean, you could argue toughest part of their schedule is the middle of November. Ole Miss and at Tennessee, back-to-back. You could argue that's the toughest part of their schedule. But they got the 8 conference games, the 6 on their side, Auburn and Ole Miss. And then the non-conference games, Georgia Tech. Tennessee, Martin, Ball State, and UAB, right?
Yes.
The 3 others? I mean, you know, that's about as soft. I mean, come on, the SEC East, if we were to rate the divisions based on the strength of divisions, the SEC East would be middle of the pack at best. I mean, it would.
Georgia's over-under is 11. Tennessee's, I believe, is 10 or 9.5.
9.5.
Then after that, you're in the 7s.
Yeah. Georgia, Alabama, Tennessee, LSU are the schools whose over-under is 8 or higher. Everybody else's is below 8. And if you're trying to make the argument, well, they're all going to beat each other up. 8 conference games, a third of their schedule's non-conference. Remember, only 2 of the 14 schools are playing 10 Power 5 opponents, Florida and South Carolina. So when we crush on SEC scheduling, we do need to exclude Florida and South Carolina.
Because the Gators have Utah and Florida State, obviously.
But to give you an idea as to how passive, non-aggressive the SEC has been in scheduling, remember, Mark, when Georgia did the first, they did the home-and-home with Arizona State when they had Stafford and Marino 15 years ago, and people acted like, oh, my goodness, Georgia's leaving the time zone. But more recently, when they did the home-and-home with Notre Dame, remember how the Georgia fan thought, oh, this is the greatest thing we've ever done. Well, when Florida goes to Utah in less than 12 weeks here, that's their first Power 5 non-conference opponent out of the South since George Herbert Walker Bush was president.
And the SEC has just flat out said, we're better, we don't have to.
Right. And I guess the question going forward is, will strength of schedule ever play a role in college football?
As we go to 12 teams in the playoff and we're determining who's getting home games in this postseason scenario that's coming up, how are they going to determine strength of schedule in picking teams 5 through 12? Because 1 through 4 is pretty easy. It really is.
Yeah. Yeah, we haven't had, I mean, most years, we know who it should be by the end. We do. Every now and then you have a little 4-5 debate. We had the 1 year in 2014, we had a 4-5-6 debate as to who should get the last spot. They stuck it to the Big 12. They put Ohio State in. Ohio State won the national title. Everybody said, guess the committee knows what they're doing. By the way, enjoy the Pac-12. I don't know how many more years it's going to be around. And if it is around, I don't know how it's going to have much more weight than like the Sun Belt. Because the Big 12 and Big 10 apparently are expanding. And they're grabbing almost all their teams for the Pac-12. So trying to figure out what's going to be left.
That's the other thing that's coming up now. If this, if you're right, and the people out there that are with you, and it doesn't seem like you're wrong, that the Pac-12 is going to completely change in front of our eyes here shortly, will the committee take the automatic conference bids from six conferences to five?
Well, Mark, it would seem as if one conference would go away. I mean, either the rest of the Mountain West will join them, because if the two Arizonas, Utah and Colorado are going to the Big 12 to make them 16, and then Oregon and Washington are going to go to the Big 10, well, that only leaves Stanford, Cal, Oregon State, and Washington State. I mean, is the Pac-12 going to then what? Try to grab most of the Mountain West? Or is the Mountain West going to say to those four schools, hey, you know, sorry, but you got a home here. I mean, I'm wondering, does the conference just go away? One of the two conferences to me would seem to be going away.
And then we'll be down to five conference champions.
Exactly. Will they amend it and say we only need, because if they stay at six, okay, well, let me tell you, if you're Mike Oresco in the AAC, you're jumping up and down. Like, well, hell, we're going to get our team in the playoff every year. We're the fifth best conference. That's not even arguable. Now it's just a matter of, is it going to be the Sun Belt or the Mountain West getting the sixth spot? Maybe Conference USA has an odd team to challenge for it.
And I think they'll amend it to five. Because then that means one more SEC or one more Big Ten team gets in. And they're running the sport.
So it was interesting that Sankey kind of took a page out of the Miller and Moulton playbook the last few months when we've gone, why would the SEC go beyond 16? How does this financially benefit them? That's the only reason to do it.
Miller and Moulton. We'll switch gears. Talk some NBA coming up. Right here on the Florida Sports Network.